like an animal, talks like an animal, must be an animal. Come hear the animal, talking animal, talking animal. Must be an animal. Come hear the animals. Talking animals. Talking animals.
Good morning. This is Talking Animals. I'm Duncan Strauss, and my guest today is Nico Case, the acclaimed singer-songwriter, who in a career spanning a quarter of a century has created a large, impressive, and revered body of work, much of it laced with nature and animal themes. Indeed, given that Talking Animals is a program that prizes animal songs, I should note that Nico's written a slew of great ones, including The Tigers Have Spoken, Maybe Sparrow, and People Got a Lot of Nerve. But her love for animals and devotion to their welfare extend beyond her recorded work. She lives on a former dairy farm in Vermont, surrounded by assorted rescue dogs, cats, chickens, and horses. She's also been long affiliated with Best Friends Animal Society, helping spread the ideas behind their campaigns and always urging people to adopt animals. We'll hear about those things and more, including the details of a sprawling new box set, Truck Driver, Gladiator, Mule, that she's about to release, when I play back the interview I recorded last night with Nico Case. Of course, we'll also hear some Nico Case animal songs. Also, later in the show, I'll speak briefly with Ginger Boyd about her hope to open a cat cafe in St. Petersburg. Cat cafes being eateries that first became popular in Asia and are now found in metropolitan cities across the world, wherein patrons enjoy food and drink amidst a flock of felines. Boyd plans to populate her joint with adoptable cats, and she's got a great name picked out for her cafe. We'll get into more about that later in the program. Lastly, an important reminder, the WMS Fall Membership Drive starts 1 week from today. That's October 7th. And on that very day, my friend Laura Taylor and I will once again team up to raise money on Talking Animals for WMNF. If you've been listening to the show for any length of time, you know that the Talking Animals operation offers special exclusive premiums or thank you gifts for pledges at various levels. Pictures and detailed descriptions can now be found at the show website, talkinganimals.net. They include the new Talking Animals t-shirts, DVD copies of Sit, Stay, Ride, The Story of America's Sidecar Dogs, the terrific documentary Flea and I showed as a WMNF event in July. Screening was the Florida premiere, and it was sold out. By the way, Flea will also be offering some copies of this DVD on his great show, the Monday It's the Music. And I continue to be really excited that this drive I'm offering two mind-blowing prints by the phenomenal underwater photographer Goog. Check out these eye-popping images on TalkingAnimals.net as well. We also have tickets, including to see Loud and Wainwright, December 12th. That's a little theater within the Ruth Eckert Hall. This guy is not only a witty, literate songwriter, singer-songwriter, he's written some pretty entertaining animal songs. Remember Dead Skunk? That show is opened by WMNF fave Melissa Farrick, by the way. More information about our exclusive thank you gifts and how to pledge or donate to our tip jar can be found at TalkingAnimals.net. And I'm typically assigned an insanely large fundraising goal, and this time around is no exception. I've been asked to raise $3,000. Huge amount for an hour-long show, especially when it's not really a full hour, actually 55 minutes. Help! Given those limitations, the only way to reach that kind of goal is to receive several pledges beforehand. If you'd like to give me a running start, if you like what we do here at Talking Animals, interview with Nico Case. Last week, interview with Avalon Tyson, 14-year-old veteran, environmentalist, advocate, etc., and all kinds of things in between. Please support us now. This is the time. Give a running start to Talking Animals. Please visit TalkingAnimals.net for info about these thank you gifts, different ways you can support Talking Animals and me. Okay, we'll hear my interview with Nico Case in just a couple of minutes, but first let's hear one of her animal songs, one of those we in fact address in our conversation coming up momentarily. This is Nico Case with The Tigers Have Spoken on Talking Animals.
Tiger.
That was Nico Case, of course, with The Tigers Have Spoken, one of many fine and often pointed animal songs in her catalog. So let's get to the interview. In a conversation recorded last night, this is Nico Case on Talking Animals.
Let's welcome to Talking Animals, Nico Case. Good morning, Nico.
Good morning.
I'm not even sure why I said good morning, except this will air in the morning. I'm already off my game. But
you know what? It's kind of morning for me. I just ate after going to the dentist, so I feel kind of alive for the first time. So.
Excellent. Well, especially since
just
I know
stick
you're...
with that. It's fine.
Okay, cool. And I know you're feeling a bit under the weather, so I appreciate all the more that you made the time to add about animals and music and other stuff, and can't talk about animals or music or really anything before acknowledging the passing of your beloved Liza. So condolences on your sweet dog, who I know passed away earlier this
Aww,
month.
Thank you. She wouldn't want us to be sad.
No,
she's
I know.
He's just that kind of guy. You know?
Yeah.
He was old.
Yeah, and I saw, I don't know when this was relative to when she passed, but I saw a great clip, in fact, of you serenading her. And it could have been a whole different period relative to when she was not.
I think that was like 4 years ago.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Or 3 years ago.
Okay.
And I wasn't meaning to serenade her so much as she insisted that I serenade her.
Yes, she seemed very insistent.
Because I was being videotaped.
Right, well.
She was like, I had to get in here.
Yeah, no, she seemed to be very responsive, and I liked the way she kind of changed positions to get you to do certain other things with your song and the guitar and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, she's like, hey, I'm right here.
Yeah.
Why are you touching that when you could be scratching me?
Right, there's other things you could be doing right now.
There's anyways. A lot of footage of her beneath people's feet, just going, hey, just worming around.
Yeah, what do I have
back,
to do? What do I have to
belly?
Do to get a
exactly.
good scratch here? Yeah. So.
Lots of her standing underneath Ellie Hogan while Kelly's trying to practice.
I see. So, all right. So, yeah, we won't be sad, but I did want to at least acknowledge her. So,
thank you.
Yeah. So anyway, I have been a big fan for many, many moons, both of the music, but also, of course, because you seem to have a really true passion for animals and their welfare, which you express in many of your songs, as well as supporting various animal organizations, causes, campaigns. I want to get into some of those specifics in a moment, but first, just generally, I just love to know, what is it that you love so much about animals? Why do they speak to you so profoundly as they clearly do?
Well, when I was little, I didn't really have parents. They were super absentee, and I had, you know, a dog and a cat, and then more cats, and then a couple more dogs, but those were the critters who really looked after me. And, you know, dogs, as you know, are super empathetic, and I was the person around, and, you know, they really loved me. They took care of me and, you know, slept in my bed with me every night, and, you know, they just good.
So even back then, if I follow you, the dogs recognized that you needed something, that you needed them because your parents, for, I guess, whatever reason, were not as around
well,
or present.
Well, maybe. I mean,
yeah.
Maybe. They needed me, too, I think. But,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
they just... I think they have, you know, since they're pet animals, you know, and if there's somebody that needs a little attention, they'll give it. So,
sure.
You know, and sleeping in a bed with a warm kid probably feels pretty good when you're a dog and you once lived in the pound, you're probably like, all right.
I have traded up.
This is great.
Yeah, things are looking
totally.
Up for me.
So,
awesome.
And, you know, I was always very sweet to my animals and they
yeah.
were sweet to me back. And so we had a great understanding.
And so you grew up with all kinds of animals and you've written about various critters, but fundamentally, just based already even just on our conversation, you seem like when when the chips are down, you're a dog person, correct? Or
no, definitely not. I definitely think that I've been the closest with dogs, just because that's how it turned out. I do have a cat that's particularly fond of everyone and everything. Like, he really gets to be a cat and live outside when he wants and live out inside when he wants, kill what he wants and eat what he wants. So he's just all okay with himself. He's just kind of the example of, like, great mental balance and a joyful countenance. Just likes to love on everyone. So he has grown up with dogs, so he kind of thinks that that's the way to be. He kind of has a dog kind of attitude about him.
So he's got the best of the feline and canine things going on, it sounds like.
If I could have anyone's life ever in the history of the world, it would be my cat's life.
And what is this cat's
name? Partly because of how he gets it. His name's Marty. Mm-hmm. Came from the shelter.
Okay.
But also, he just knows how to live. And he's so joyful about everything.
He's a role model.
He's totally a role model.
That's cool. We love Marty. I got to learn from Marty myself then. That's great.
Yeah. So, shelter pets, man.
Yeah, that's it. This is Talking Animals. I'm Duncan Stress. My guest is singer-songwriter Nico Case, whose next release will be Truck Driver, Gladiator, Mule, a box set extravaganza that we'll discuss momentarily. This conversation was recorded yesterday. Okay, so animals, cats, Marty, dogs, other animals, I think, at your pad. You've also long been a really vocal supporter of Best Friends Animal Society, including their current campaign, Strut Your Mutt. So how did you become a Best Friends fan? Because this really does go back a number of years at this point.
I remember watching the Dogtown show and just seeing kind of, you know, they have kind of a different philosophy about rescuing animals than I had seen kind of widely publicized. And it was really lovely and made a lot of sense. And, you know, the main philosophy being you have to let them be dogs. And it's really important to understand the psychology of a species if you're going to live with them. And dogs are really trying to understand our language, just like we're trying to understand theirs.
Sure.
And I like how much, you know, they really stress that understanding your dog and making an effort with your dog will get you the results that you want. And, you know, they're not human beings, they're dogs.
Right.
But, you know, two great tastes that go great together.
Yeah.
So, you know, don't expect peanut butter to be chocolate.
Exactly. And so Best Friends really seems to have that understanding, therefore has your support and all
that. They do, and
yeah.
I've been there, and it's not like they just have a facade up for TV. Like, they actually do what they say they're doing. It is truly phenomenal, and it's just a really nice sense of well-being, and everybody is there for the right reason, and it's just really, really lovely. And
yeah.
No species is turned away. I think they don't take monkeys or elephants because the climate is not right.
Yeah.
But that's the only reason.
Right, in the Utah Canyon there, that would be tricky for some of those critters. Though.
Perhaps. I don't know. I know. I'm a big fan of theirs and what they do.
Yeah. I'm interested because as a guy who's been a pretty long time fan, and especially as a guy who's been pursuing an interview with you for a while, I've really probably more plugged into your schedule than most people, perhaps more than would almost be normal or healthy. But as part of that, I'm struck by your touring schedule, which by any measure is absolutely relentless. So, for example,
yeah.
When you released your last album, The Worst Things Get, the harder I fight, the more I love you. Just wanted to try that. There were several legs of the tour in the U.S., interspersed with European legs, and these were intense legs, they pretty much every night. And then you'd finish that, and then boom, off into a new pornographer's tour, finish that, and then back for more Nico Case dates. I mean, do you love touring that much? For you, did the road not seem like a necessary evil, but somewhere where you flourish? I mean, what is the story there?
Well, contrary to popular belief, musicians don't make money off their recording.
Yeah.
They make money off being on the road, like a living wage, or to live. That's what we have to do.
Yeah.
So it is necessary, but at the same time, I kind of realized my limits this year. And after that last schedule, I realized I can't tour that much.
Okay, so the
because
one I just mentioned.
There's just mental well-being that happens when you go home sometimes.
Yeah.
And it is heartbreaking because, you know, I don't want to miss shows of my band or the new pornographers. I mean, both bands have existed the exact same amount of time, and I feel, you know, passionately about both. So whenever the new pornos are playing somewhere where I'm not, it always is kind of a little stabby, like, oh, I want to be. But
wow.
Then again, at the same time, like, you know, I also don't want to have a meltdown about a bag of potato chips somewhere because I've lost touch with reality. I'm overworked and, you know, basically mentally off.
Okay, so the thing
it's
I've just...
It's not like a rich people disease. It's a work too hard thing. Like,
right.
You gotta find some balance. Otherwise, you will totally screw yourself over as a human.
Okay, so the thing I just rattled off, that you realized that same thing, that like, hey, that is a little over the edge for really keeping sane and happy and healthy then.
Yeah, and it was over the edge when I was doing it when I was, you know, 26. It's over the edge when I was doing it at 32. It's over the edge doing it at 44. So it's not like anything to do with age. It's just like, wake up, stupid.
Yeah, well, pay attention here. But because the other thing too about just getting home, like you say, periodically, just for the equilibrium and sanity and, you know, nourishment and that, but also for someone like you, I would think that kind of touring, to be away from your animal for such long stretches, would have its own additional challenge.
Well, it does. But luckily for me, they're so mentally well-adjusted and kind of overhandled and over-socialized that when I'm gone, I think they miss me. But at the same time, you know, they come and go as they please, you know, and they have really great lives and they get really well cared for while I'm gone. So I don't even know if they really notice.
Oh, come on.
So that when I get back, they're like, it's like our birthday party. We love you. But I don't know if every day they're like, I wonder where she is.
I'm sure.
We miss her. It's more like when I get home, they're like, oh, yeah, you. We love you.
Well, I'm
it
sure.
It feels just as good. I don't want them to be sad that I'm not around.
Right.
Honestly, I don't think they are.
Yeah. No, obviously they're in good hands with whoever's looking after them while you're gone. But I'm sure they do miss you. And I'm sure, starting with Marty, I'm sure they are very excited and celebratory when you walk in the door.
Yeah. They're all very, they don't hold back their enthusiasm, which of course is for the human soul. It's like a huge vitamin B shot in each ass cheek.
Okay.
It's pretty much the greatest.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, I couldn't have said it more poetically, I think, myself. So,
it's so good for you.
Yeah. Now, you know, the last time I saw you perform, speaking of touring, was at Bumbershoot, and you were wearing a safety vest, which I was quite taken with. So was that just for that particular night, or is that occasionally part of your onstage?
No, I just wanted to wear it because it came free with my chainsaw.
I see. Okay.
I was like, it's kind of a sleek little one.
Yeah. Well, you were highly visible.
I'm gonna be outdoors. Why not?
Yeah. No, it was hard to miss you on stage. That's for sure.
Thank you.
In the fabulous Nico Case catalog at this point, there are a lot of animal songs, and a couple of your best-known songs sort of deal directly with animals in captivity, tigers, elephants, killer whales. Now, how would you respond if I observed that the tone in those songs sometimes seems pretty contemptuous, I guess, shall we say?
Oh, I wouldn't deny it in the least. And bears and things like that really have no business being in captivity.
And here's the other thing related to that. There's the line, and people got a lot of nerve about killer whales, which sort of presaged, which I'm not sure either A, if that's the right word, or B, if that's the right pronunciation, but somehow it popped into my head. But the whole weird Tilikum awful attack on her trainer there, Don Brochow, at SeaWorld, that's like a weird premonition or something that...
Oh, it's always been around. It's always been in our faith. It's like,
yeah. No, but I mean,
fierce predators, and, you know, they get along with us, or I guess our fat doesn't taste that good or something, but that's the only reason, you know, and they know that we are where their food comes from in that situation, but, you know, if you've ever seen an elephant in a zoo, they're always rocking back and forth, like, there's that energy, they are mentally ill, like, those animals are required to walk, you know, 70 miles in a stretch, whales are meant to swim, you know, long distances in a day, it's like you're making a growing teenager live inside of an empty room. Refrigerator.
Yeah.
It's like, and sometimes you open the door and give them a juice box.
Yeah,
no wonder they're mentally ill. They're mentally ill. Kills me to see tigers and lions and leopards pacing back and forth in a cage.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are places that do it right. Like, if animals need rehab, then, you know, they take these endangered animals that are injured or whatever, and they give them a decent space to live, but not in a little tiny enclosure.
Yeah.
And I don't believe that's educational for children at all.
Right.
I was a child, and I understood that the whale at the Vancouver Aquarium was really getting the short end of the stick, and it made me super sad in my soul. Like, that is wrong.
Yeah, well, that's the thing.
And the other kids knew it, too. And it's cool when they perform, and we were like, wow, what a great animal. What a great species. Duh, of course. But you know what? When it attacks someone, you can't act like it's so surprising.
Yeah.
Not that she deserved that. She didn't. That's terrible. What a terrible thing to happen to a person. And I'm sure she didn't have any bad intentions, but if you can't pull back and understand the psychology of the species than which they claim to. Yet, you know, it's like, how can you actually be studying this animal for research if it's not in its natural environment or anything even resembles? Well, that's just common sense.
For sure. And like you say, both the science and study of it is inherently false, just as, unfortunately, just kids and others that go to those places. I mean, what are they really learning when it's not, they're not in their natural habitat? They're forced to do and live things, situations that aren't remotely what would happen in their real habitat. So how is it educational to see a false setup from the get-go? So, yeah.
It's not. And I don't even think it's a child's natural habitat. Like, you know, let's go out on some boats out in nature and go on a whale watching trip or something.
Yeah.
That seems more educational
for
to me.
Sure.
But, you know, I mean, there are things we can't get anywhere near. It's not like we take children to the mouths of volcanoes to show them how wondrous and huge and magnificent a volcano is.
Yeah.
We step back at a respectful distance and we go, wow, that is cool. And, you know, science does things like invent little tiny cameras that can go up and check out the volcano without anybody having to be hurt or dismantling the volcano.
Yeah.
You know, there are ways to do this. That children aren't stupid. They get it.
Exactly. You know, some of those songs like we talked about deal with that directly. Some deal with other aspects of nature and animals. And given all those animal songs and the variety of subjects and the variety of styles among them, I'd be curious to know how you approach writing a song about animals. Is it just the way you would write some other song that you're working on, or do you have a specific intent when you say, okay, I'm going to write something that because this thing does bother me with the tigers, or this thing does bother me with the elephants or the whales, or this fox thing I was really struck by? I mean, how does that come together?
Well, the same things bother me about humans and how it is to be a human. That we have a lot of very unnatural environment for ourselves and really have been, you know, smashing instincts down into nothing for a long time. So animals are always with me, and I feel a sense of camaraderie with them in that, you know, we could all have a lot more freedom in that regard. And, you know, our habitats are important and they overlap.
Mm-hmm.
And we could really do a much better job.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's so many ways we govern ourselves and we govern animals that don't make any sense whatsoever.
So these are parallels, and sometimes these things, these issues and ideas intersect.
I think they're just the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think of us together, really.
Yeah.
And, you know, I am interested in animal welfare, but it's not in the way that, it's not like a PETA organization way. It's more of a, you got to let animals be animals. Like, you know, I'm not a fan of furriers or anything either, but,
yeah.
You know, I'm also a person who eats meat. I've tried very hard not to. So, you know, the only thing I can do is really to make sure that any meat I eat came from my neighbors where, you know, I see those cows every day or those chickens every day. You know, they are allowed to be themselves and they're super clean and happy and, you know, it's good. Which, you know, to some people is still going to be like, oh, so you kill them. Like, well, yeah, because I'm a carnivore, unfortunately. Both of my eyes are on the front of my head and I'm not at the stage of evolution where I can live as a vegetarian and feel healthy. Believe me, I've tried. I've weighed the meat of tofus and the beans and, you know, I just was a ghost and it did not work no matter how I tried. I would rather not.
Right.
But like I said, also, you know, it does make me aware of how these critters live. So in that, you know, I've gotten a lot better insight into some things that maybe people don't think about that often.
Yeah.
And, you know, it makes me a very conscientious farmer.
I guess we haven't really mentioned, and we might have alluded to it, that you live on a farm in Vermont, right?
Mm-hmm. And I don't grow animals. Like, I don't farm. I don't do any husbandry of any kind. It's like a used dog farm, if anything. But there's a horse and a couple chickens. You know, I eat their eggs. And but I'm a vegetable farmer, mostly.
And what kind of vegetables do you grow?
Tomatoes are my passion. But I don't know if they are the climate of Vermont's passion. So I'm working on some greenhouse ideas right now.
I see.
Vermont can be a little fickle in that regard. But we do have very long days, being more northern. So that actually comes in handy. But it goes back and forth.
Yeah. You gotta adjust. You're growing for those days in that climate. I'm Duncan Strauss. This is Talking Animals. My guest is Nico Case, the singer-songwriter and animal guardian and advocate who is on the cusp of releasing Truck Driver Gladiator Mule, a vinyl box set extravaganza featuring 8 of her albums. This conversation was recorded yesterday. So let's talk about that extravaganza. So Truck Driver Gladiator Mule, first of all, was this always going to be vinyl, like from the get-go, vinyl only, this package?
Yeah. Yeah, it was. I'm a big fan of vinyl. I mean, there are download codes in each box, so that you can download the music as well. You paid for it.
Yeah.
And so you can download it. So you have it digitally as well. Like, if you're a nerd who never wants to open the box, like, there you go.
Okay.
If you want to collect that hardcore and never touch any of that vinyl, you are welcome to, because you can download it. But, you know, I like playing things on the stereo. I miss that.
Yeah.
That's how I grew up, and that's kind of that was the attention span that was beat into me by, the 33 and a half platter.
Yeah, songs lead to songs, and there's a certain thing on one side and the next side and sequencing and all those things. Yeah.
Yeah, so, and I like a 40, 45-minute thing, but, I've heard longer things that really, really work, and there are people who can do it, and they're awesome at it, but I'm not that good at it. I kind of write for that specific thing, I think.
That's how you grew up.
You know how, movie trailers are often so much better than the movie?
Yes.
I think I try to make little movie trailers that there's the movie for that you think is good.
Got it.
Later. You fill in the rest of the blanks, kind of.
Yeah. Well, that's how it really should be, right? I mean, use your imagination, bring something to it rather than have it all laid out for you.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's okay to have things all laid out for you sometimes, too.
Yeah.
I like the variety.
Sure.
But I don't necessarily go for that on purpose. That just seems to be my natural shoe size.
And that's
how I work.
Yeah. Well, that's also how you grew up, and that's how you appreciated music as a fan before you started making music, so it's probably just sort of wired into you that way.
Mm-hmm.
So we're sort of nearing the end of our time, Nico, but, you mentioned the new pornographers earlier, and I guess I'd be curious at this point, especially what your work in the new pornographers provides you. I mean, it would appear the Nico Case career is going pretty darn well, as we established, keeps you extremely busy, yet you really seem to relish recording and touring with the new pornographers, almost at times like as though there isn't a Nico Case career, much less a flourishing Nico Case career. So what are you getting from that band experience and that just overall experience at this point?
It's kind of variety, challenge, and a great release of energy. The new pornographers is super physical on stage that my band isn't in a way. Mine is a very different kind of physical, like singing really hard and playing guitar at the same time, whereas I focus just on the singing. And, I haven't written the songs in the new pornographers, so I go way outside of my range. sometimes successfully and sometimes not so successfully, but that's where you get the challenge,
Okay.
And, I grew up with those people.
Yeah.
And our bands came up at the same time. And, I knew Carl and John and Blaine way before, we were in the new pornographers. We all loved music together and hung out socially at shows and in Vancouver, and we just lived for music, all of us. And so it's kind of another way to not lose contact with that part of my life and those people that I am so in love with, because they are all close to me.
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't live in Vancouver anymore, and I haven't for a very long time, but here we are still, which is a lovely thing.
So it's really important to sort of nurture and sustain that relationship for a variety of reasons, it sounds like,
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Well, we're all the better for it, because we get the Nico Case music, and we get the new pornographers music, and the tours that go with each, and two minutes in one, right?
Mm-hmm.
So cool, Nico. Well, I think, actually, one other quick thing, because I know you're a huge reader, and there's this great-looking library of sorts in your house, so I'm wondering if you've read this book, H is for Hawk?
No.
No? Okay. Well, I would recommend it. It's perhaps one of the best 2 or 3 books I've read in the last year or so, and when I read it, it made me think of you and some of your writing, so, and I think you would...
Is it about hawks?
Well, it's about this woman who lost her dad sort of suddenly, and so it's partly like a grief thing, but part of the way she deals with her grief is she did some falconry as a little kid in England, and so she went and got this goshawk and trained it, and so it's partly about that, it's partly about dealing with the grief, and it's some of the most amazing writing that, again, in a non-fictional setting that I've come across in some time, and like I say, just the writing and her observations and a lot of just sort of what was underneath a lot of that. Reminded me of some of your writings. So.
One more for the stack of awesome.
Okay,
that I
sorry.
Gotten to
yeah,
yet.
The big
no,
night.
No, don't be sorry.
The big nightstand gets bigger. Yeah, but anyways.
Oh, there's not even a nightstand. It's just like these piles, that's another reason one has to stop touring so much.
Okay, good.
Well, one being me. I just said that like we were doing Shakespeare for some
reason. Right, yeah, sotto voce, I believe. Yeah.
Well, it's kind of bad.
Yeah.
It's like you do that with your band as a joke, and then all of a sudden you're saying those things out loud, like, whoa!
Did I just say that out loud. Yeah. Well, cool, Nico. Well, thank you so much. We've been speaking, of course, with Nico Case. The new box set coming out, I think it's in November-ish, about...
November? I think it's around the 13th or something.
Okay,
see,
yeah.
This is some stuff that I'm supposed to know.
Right, but there you can pre-order it now, and you can go to NicoCase.com to find out more about that and everything else, and still some dates coming up, depending on where you are, including, I think you're in San Francisco this coming weekend, right?
I think Sunday.
Yeah, yeah, cool. So,
you like how I think it's Sunday? I think it's Sunday.
Yeah, well, I'm sure between now
and
Sunday you'll probably...
somewhere.
Yeah.
I will find it.
Yeah, something tells me you'll verify between now and Sunday. But Nico, well, thank you very, very much for making the time to join us on Talking Animals. It was
thank
a great pleasure speaking with you, and good luck.
All right, thanks. Nice to talk to you.
Likewise, thank you so much.
Again, my thanks to Nico Case, and that box set, Truck Driver, Gladiator Mule, is indeed due out November 13th. Let's hear another Nico Animal song that's included in that box set. It's Nico Case with Maybe Sparrow on Talking Animals.
Maybe Sparrow, you should wait. The hawks alight till morning. You never pass beyond the gate. You don't hear my warning. Notes are hung so effortless with the rise and fall of Sparrow's breast. It's a drowning dive and back to the chorus. La-di-da-di-da-di-down. La-di-da-di-da-di-down. Glanced off metal wings in a thunderstorm above the clouds. The engine hums a sparrow's praise. Those who cannot hear the words, those who cannot hear the words, those who will not hear the words. La-di-da-di-da-di-da.
If that voice doesn't get you right where you live, maybe you need to move. That's Maybe Sparrow from Nico Case. In just a few minutes, we'll speak briefly with Ginger Boyd about her plans to open a cat cafe in St. Petersburg. Right now, I want to tell you that support for WNF comes from our members in the Capitol Theater. Welcoming Ani DeFranco, October 7th at thecap.com has ticket information. Let's step now into the Talking Animals Comedy Corner with a longtime fave who made history over the weekend, Brian Regan, who performed the first live special on Comedy Central ever. And it was fantastic. Bravo to Brian. Here's a classic from earlier in his career. It's Brian Regan with a piece called Fishing on TV in today's Comedy Corner on Talking Animals.
I like watching fishing on TV. You ever? That'll make you worry about yourself. You ever watch fishing on TV for like 15 minutes and then just go, boy, I better get a life. I'm watching fishing. I'm not even fishing, I'm watching fishing. Too lazy to fish. I'm taping fishing to watch again later. Come on over, I got a fishing tape. No, a new one. And at the end of the fishing show, they roll credits. There are like 90 people involved with the two guys fishing. What are they all doing? And one of the credits is film editor. This poor guy. He's got to watch all the footage. It's not exciting enough to make it into that final show. That's got to be hell. He's got to sit there all day just going, no, 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 no. Fast forward, fast forward, fast forward. Oh, 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 oh. Mm-mm, no. That was just the worm when he put the worm. And I saw this credit at the end of the fishing show. I'm not making this up. Writer. I swear, there's a writer for the fishing show? What's he writing?
Ooh, she's a beauty.
Typing it out. Zing! Guy's got to worry about his lines. Finally catches a fish. You have a line. Oh, it's a fish and it's a beauty. He's a beauty fish. Fish is beauty. He's a fish and a beauty fish. He's a fish and beauty fish. All right, caught. You okay, man? You need some water? Are you all right?
That was Brian Regan with a piece called Fishing on TV, taken from his CD simply entitled Live. Now, to briefly discuss her plans to open a cat cafe in St. Petersburg. Cat cafes constituting something of an international trend. Let's welcome Ginger Boyd to Talking Animals. Good morning, Ginger.
Good morning, Duncan. How are you?
Good. Thanks so much for joining us on Talking Animals this morning.
Thanks for having us.
All right. So for those listening who may be unfamiliar with cat cafes, maybe you could sort of just briefly describe what they are.
Yeah, it's going to be a coffee shop that houses rescued cats from local shelters. All the kitties are up for adoption. If you can't have a cat, you can't adopt a cat, it's a great place to just come, pet them, love them, hang out with them. Have a great cup of coffee and be on your way.
So, yeah, and I guess I meant more generally. Like, have you been to existing cat cafes? Because as far as I know, I think they started in Japan or somewhere in Asia and then have sort of spread internationally.
Yes, they did start in Asia, and there have been several popping up in the United States over about the last year.
Yeah, but one of the things that's among the many that's interesting to me about your sort of plans for this and hopes for this is that they tend to be in sort of very metropolitan areas, New York, L.A., Madrid, London.
They're and, like the new Hard Rock.
Yeah, well, I guess. Why did you decide to open one? And sort of part B, I guess, why did you think St. Petersburg would be particularly well-suited as a location for a cat cafe?
I've been working in animal hospitals over the last 10 years, and I see a need for helping out with the homeless kitties. They really need some love. They need some help. They need a place to go. St. Pete is a great place for it because we're a very dog-friendly town in St. Pete, which is great. I love my dog. I take her to Yappy Hour, and, you know, I take her out and about with me, but there's nowhere for a cat lover to go and enjoy cats.
Again, for people who aren't familiar with these, you go to these places, obviously, to sort of eat and drink, and there's all kinds of cats kind of just hanging out, walking around, doing what cats do.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, but the thing, I guess, that's going to be true of yours that isn't necessarily true of at least the others that I'm aware of, is that all or virtually all of the cats that... that will be in yours. And by the way, if I had a sound effect for a drum roll, I would do it right now. But I guess we should say what the name of your cat cafe will be when it's up and running.
We are going to be Downtown Tabby.
There you go, folks. Come on.
And we have also partnered with Friends of Strays Rescue. So we'll be getting a lot of our rescued kitties from Friends of Strays.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So we're going to help them get some homes, get them out of cages, and get them some exercise and some love, and hopefully new forever homes.
And Ginger, how many cats do you imagine at any given moment, like once it's open and I go in on a Wednesday afternoon or after the show, whatever, how many cats might I expect to see when it's up and running in full swing?
Depending on the square footage that we end up with, we're hoping between 10 and 20 cats you know, some of them might not be in the mood for company that day, so you may not see all of them at once.
Mm-hmm.
But we hope to have between 10 and 20, leaning towards the 20.
Cool. And I guess people obviously would go there, even if they're not necessarily thinking of adopting, maybe they already have cats, and maybe that's part of the reason they're going to a cat cafe. And so far, have you encountered any, just when you describe this for people who, again, maybe weren't familiar with it before, any reaction of like, oh, geez, well, a cat where I'd be eating my sandwich or sipping my coffee? I mean, any kind of like reluctance in that way?
There have been very few of those people. Most everybody who's found out about it is super excited. They really are you open? Where's your location? When can I come? How can I help? They're very excited about it so far.
Cool.
We're going to have prepackaged foods. We won't have a kitchen in the building.
Okay.
So you don't have to worry about that. It's all very clean and safe. The cats will be separated from the coffee area, so you don't have to worry about that. Yeah, it's going to be great. We're going to have, like, different activities, so maybe a sewing circle one night. We're going to have local artwork up on the walls, maybe open mic night, and then maybe special evenings, so maybe children who cannot have a pet at their house but would like some kind of animal therapy to come and pet the kitties. Senior citizens, the same thing, you know, just different special events for people to come and enjoy the cats.
So since some of those people that you have told about it have said, hey, when are you going to be open? When are you going to be open? Let's talk about, is there a timetable and what the next steps are?
Yeah, well, we do have kind of our own little like Indiegogo thing going on. So hopefully as soon as we're funded, we're going to be able to open. We've been working with the Pinellas County Score and St. Petersburg Greenhouse on all of the business and mentoring, permitting, all of that kind of stuff. So we are ready.
Okay.
We are ready. As soon as I get funded,
right.
I'll be there.
Okay, so we should probably mention that for people who are hearing this and say, hey, this sounds cool and I want to support that one way or another. So there is a crowdfunding campaign underway. So where would people who might want to find out more and maybe participate, where would they find online that crowdfunding information?
We do have a Facebook page that's pretty active. It would be Downtown Tabby St. Pete, just STPETE.
Okay.
So we're always posting things on there. We have our crowdfunding. We have our advisory panel members, our ambassador kitty, Little Mao, photos of her up there. So, yeah, all of our information would be there on the Facebook page, Downtown Tabby St. Pete.
That's great. Well, Ginger, I look forward to you keeping us posted. And, of course, when it's open, we'll want to talk more or have some sort of grand Downtown Tabby.
Yeah, we hope to see you there.
Yeah, absolutely. I look forward to it. So what's your best guess, by the way? I mean, if everything sort of stayed on track the way you'd really love to see it go, what would you guess would be a reasonable time to expect the opening of Downtown Tabby?
I would say by Valentine's Day.
Wow, okay, cool. Nice. What a great time. That could be a very romantic outing. You come with your sweetie and hang out with cats and have a little bite to eat or a cup of coffee. What's not to like?
Yeah, I agree.
Cool. All right, Ginger. Well, good luck with that. Thanks so much for joining us today on Talking Animals.
Thank you for having me. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. Coming up at 11 on WNF, it's Rob Lori and Radioactivity. Rolling into the noon hour constitutes a full 2 hours of interviews, phone calls, news, and more with contributions from members of the stellar WNF staff. Meanwhile, as the prize for Name That Animal Tune, I'll be offering a DVD copy of the acclaimed documentary Cowspiracy, The Sustainability Secret. Right now, it's time for animal news and announcements. Starting with, this isn't really directly animal news, but this guy has been very involved with Talking Animals and Talking Animals events and featured on the Talking Animals Festival CD, etc. And I'm referring to Loris Vidal, who this very night, tonight, Wednesday, the 30th, will be at New World Brewery as part of the Barbecue Acoustic series, and so he'll be there with special guests getting underway at 7 p.m. That's New World Brewery, of course, in fabulous Ybor City. Loris Vidal. Also coming up this Saturday, it's the first Saturday celebration that's held monthly at Hillsborough County's Pet Resource Center, 440 North Falconbrook Road. And that, again, this Saturday, October 3rd, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. You can celebrate National Adopt-A-Shelter Dog Month. Food, music, exhibitors, admission could hardly be more reasonable. There's all kinds of adoption specials and bounce house, balloons, DJ, giveaways, refreshments, and I think construction is underway there, so it might be a little the way places look when they're under remodeling or construction, but still open for action, specifically in this case from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. this Saturday at Hillsborough County's Pet Resource Center. And want to before we shift into fun drive mode next week and the week after, we won't be on the air probably at all as we hit our finale of the fun drive on the 14th. So let me hit a couple other things that I mentioned before, but make sure we get one more mention in today of some events coming up for animal organizations, some of their bigger events indoors and or outdoors. Including Tuxes and Tails, that's the benefit to the animals at the Humane Society of Tampa Bay. That's October 17th from 6 p.m. to 11 p.m. at the Tampa Convention Center. More information on that can be found at humanesocietytampa.org. Stride for Strays coming up the very next day, October 18th. From 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., that's the 15th annual Stride for Strays, by the way. In the Channelside Riverwalk area, starting and ending at Ferg's Live, Tampa. More information on that is at actampa.org. And a little bit further down the road, calendar-wise, is the Tampa Bay Veg Fest, the 6th annual. One of those, November 7th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at Cotonchobee, Fort Brooke Park. I know they have all kinds of great speakers and films and cooking demos and, of course, booths and animals and just... things galore, so we can find out more about that specifically at TampaBayVegFest.org. International animal news. Earlier this month, the ban on wild animals in circuses officially went into effect in the Netherlands. Wild animals such as lions, bears, elephants, and giraffes will no longer have to endure extensive travel or life in cramped, poorly laid out enclosures for the sole purpose of entertaining humans. They have outlawed all that activity throughout the Netherlands. So, go Netherlands! And you might have seen this by now. I meant to get this a week or two ago. At the Seattle Aquarium, sort of in the wake of all the fires and stuff they've been having in that area, there is a otter that has asthma. That's not the bigger part of the story, perhaps, is that they have trained this otter to use an inhaler, just the way a lot of us human types with asthma use an inhaler. So anyway, you can see footage of that, or at least pictures. Pretty cute, pretty good. I think that's it. Most of the other stuff is much further down the road, so we'll get to that in a subsequent edition of Talking Animals. I'm Duncan Strauss. You are listening to Talking Animals, where the show website is talkinganimals.net. It's time to proceed to name that animal tune. This is a giveaway, but please only participate if you haven't won something from WNF in the last 90 days. There'll be a prize, a DVD copy of the acclaimed documentary Cowspiracy, The Sustainability Secret, to the first person who calls 813-239-9663 and correctly identifies this animal song. One clue, I'll be offering a pair of tickets to see this artist as a thank you gift for supporting Talking Animals in next week's fun drive. And I already mentioned the song, so it's Name That Animal Tune on Talking Animals.
Crossing the highway late last night, he should've looked left and he should've looked right. He didn't see the station wagon car, the skunk got squashed and there you are. You got your dead skunk in the middle of the road. Dead skunk in the middle of the road. Dead skunk in the middle of the road. Stinking to high heaven. Take a whiff on me, that ain't no rose. Roll up your window and hold your nose.
We have just about reached the end of today's edition of Talking Animals. Let's put one of our guessers on the air, see if they can name it. Hi, you're on Talking Animals. You're live on the air. Can you name that animal tune?
Dead skunk in the middle of the road.
Well, that's close enough. That's even more words than the actual title has, but you've definitely included dead skunk, which are the key words. So you are a winner. What is your first name?
Kara.
Kara?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Kara, well, congratulations. I'll get your information in a moment, and I'll send you off a copy of Cowspiracy, The Sustainability Secret. Thanks for listening, and congratulations.
You wanted that so bad.
Okay, good. Great. Well, this is what we like to have. Please, listeners and contest winners, now we're talking. All right, I'll put you on hold, Carl. I'll come back. Thanks. So we have just about reached the end of today's edition of Talking Animals on WMNF Tampa. Rob Loray is up next with 2 hours or thereabouts of Radioactivity. I'll be back next Wednesday, October 7th, alongside my friend Laura Taylor, raising money on Talking Animals on the first day of WMNF's fall membership drive. Again, trying to meet my 3,000 goal in less than an hour is next to impossible, so I really hope you'll consider making an early pledge to Talking Animals or donating to our tip jar. All the information about doing those things and our fabulous thank you gifts that we can get for pledges of various levels can be found at talkinganimals.net. I'm Duncan Shaw. Thanks very much for listening. Have a good week. Be kind to animals. Be kind to others. Be kind to yourself. As usual, we're closing out today's show with an animal song. In this case, one more from Nico Case. Thought it was fitting, given our conversation that we hear people got a lot of nerve on WMNF Tampa, Brandon, Clearwater, Largo, Weeki Wachee, and beyond. Community Conscious Radio, thanks for listening. Speak again next Wednesday at 10 a.m. on Talking Animals. Support Talking Animals. Support WMNF. See you next week. Thanks. One more time, Nico Case, people got a lot of nerve. Again, my thanks to Nico for joining us today on Talking Animals. Our great conversation. Look for that box set, again, November 13th, but it can be pre-ordered now. Go to NicoCase.com for more information. Also, thanks to Ginger Boyd for joining us today, and look forward to hearing when her cat cafe is up and running. Downtown Tabby, no less. So this is WMNF Tampa. We'll see you next Wednesday. Hope you'll support us. Next week, right here at 10 a.m. on Talk Animals. But if at all possible, give us a running start. Give a little pre-pledge, something, hit the tip jar, something to give us a running chance, a fighting chance at that $3,000 goal before next Wednesday morning. All right. Rob Laura is next with Radioactivity. Thanks for listening. Take care.